From 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to begin with verse 1. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If indeed you have tested and tasted that the Lord is good, come to Him. A living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, He is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, and they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you, as aliens and exiles, to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that they may, though they may malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when He comes to judge." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I'm going to share with you a little church history, so those of you that are prone to doze off, this might be a good time for that. And then I'll wake you up with a loud bang about midway through the message. What about that? No, for many of us, history is important for us to understand more of what we do and why we do the things that conduct our faith and lives to this day. I've heard it said that we learn from history so that hopefully we won't make the same mistakes that others made before us. It's a great treasure to us. If we open our ears and receive at times the wisdom of those who've gone before us. In the fourth century of our church, the Christian church, there was a great theologian, a bishop named Augustine of Hippo. Augustine was one that became known as the Father of Grace. In other words, he was such a preacher that he presented the gospel as being nothing we do to earn or deserve God's love. No, it's simply a gift from above. This scripture today certainly influenced that belief and that practice by Augustine when he heard these words from Peter in verse 6 that says, "Whoever believes shall not be put to shame." In other words, Peter, the apostle, the cornerstone that Jesus would choose to build his church and this faith called Christianity on, proclaimed from his very words that the doors of heaven are open. Because Jesus Christ came into us. That no longer are just the people Israel, God's chosen race, as Peter says here, but all creation. Any who will claim and reach out for the grace that is given to us, then all are called my chosen people. Those are the words that inspired Augustine. as he was in his mid-30s and began writing what is known as his confessions, his biography. But an interesting thing about Augustine that many people are not aware of, that he was the age of 32 before he was baptized into the Christian faith. He'd grown up in the home of a mother who was a deeply devout Christian lady. But his father was a pagan who not embraced the faith. And living within this constant turmoil of his family, Augustine all but lost his faith as a young adult. But throughout those years, all along his journey, the different turns that it would take, his mother did one thing religiously. She prayed. She never stopped praying for her son. She never stopped believing even in him that God's love would one day be revealed. And it was those prayers, Augustine believed, that inspired him ultimately and to eventually embrace the life-giving love from above. Well, we that have loving mothers are not surprised that that was what Augustine found with his mother. One who prayed in her child the love from the Father above. You know, that's one of the gifts I think of that a loving mother often offers to her children and to the world around her. She prays. She's devout in speaking and seeking God's love into the lives of her children. You know, another gift that I'm grateful for that mothers teach us about the faith is sacrifice. Sacrifice, a willingness to give of self for the family, for the greater good. I don't know about you, but I oftentimes at this season think about mothers of old, mothers who we no longer have. Maybe it was a grandmother or a great-grandmother. I think of my grandmother Hill, who raised 14 kids, who was a widow for the last 22 years of her life. But she continued to be the matriarch of that family, the strong voice, the constant love. I'll never forget when I was in the fifth grade and I entered my first and my last womanless beauty review. And you know what? My mama had me prettied up. She had my hair permed. I had makeup on. I had a pretty dress on. I was ready to go and capture the crown for being the king of the Womanless Beauty Review. Would you be the king or the queen? I'm not really sure. But I wanted to win that sucker. But I lacked one thing on my outfit. I almost said costume, but I would say outfit. I didn't have any earrings. So my mama took me to my grandmother's. My ears hadn't been pierced either. And she said, "I think Grandmuddy has some clip-on earrings, some big clip-on earrings." And sure enough, we walk into my grandmuddy's house, and I'm all decked up, looking lovely. And my mama escorts me back into Grandmuddy's room and says, "Grandmuddy, do you have some earrings that we can borrow?" And Grandmuddy said, "Why, sure. Let's go look and see what I have." And then they got away from me, and Grandmuddy and my mother walked back into the jewelry room, and Grandmuddy was looking, and she finally found the perfect pair of earrings, and she said, "Sherry, here are those earrings for you to wear. But just tell me one thing. Who is that little woman that you're going to put them on?" She didn't know me, but she didn't have to know me because she knew my mama. And she trusted her love. Sacrifice. A willingness to give what we have for those we love. But you know, another way my grandmother gave and taught us about love was, I remember that her favorite piece of chicken, I've shared this with some of you before, her favorite piece of chicken was the pulley bone. The pulley bone. You can't even hardly find a pulley bone anymore, can you? And I remember my grandmother would fry up that pulley bone. She'd tell how good it was. And it's a little old bitty piece of chicken. I think it's from a portion of the breast. And I tell you, I'm a dark meat person myself. I don't really care for them old dried out pulley bones. But my grandmother would brag and brag about how good it was. And I never really understood why she would like that little old bitty piece of chicken when you had all those other big juicy pieces. Until one day I had children of my own and I saw their mother and how she sacrificed everything she had to make their lives better. And eventually I understood it wasn't so much the taste of the pulley bone that inspired my grandmother, but it was the size. The less she had, the more her children had. You see, that, my friends, is a simple sample of love. In our scripture today, Peter says, once you've tasted, once you've gotten just a taste, one far greater than a small piece of pulley bone, once you've tasted God's love, then you know it's good. And you want to share it. You want to sacrifice of what you have for those that you love. So I'm grateful for those gifts of mothers today, that they pray in those that they love and they sacrifice for those that they love. And lastly, one other gift that I think of with mothers that they exemplify our faith is indeed love itself. You know, just this week, Manya and I got to visit a mother in action. We went to a band banquet for Luke. He won an award. We're proud of you, Luke. Even though you've graduated children's church, we're still proud of you. And at the awards banquet, there was a mother that came in with her young baby, probably a year old. Some would say it wasn't really her baby because the mom is black. And the baby's white. The mom is what the state of Mississippi would call a foster mom. But she's had this baby since her birth. Her husband is a dear friend of mine, a pastor there in Corinth. And they love that baby as if she was their very own. But you know what else? That baby has one of the biggest smiles I've ever seen. Because once she tasted the love of what I will call her mother, she knew that it was good. And a smile captured her heart and her mind. You know, I think that must be what Paul was talking about in our scripture today when he said, you have become a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You, church, you people of faith have become royalty. Much like that beautiful foster child, not because of the color of your skin, not because of what you've done, but because our God and Lord above is gracious. And He looks upon us with these words of Scripture that Peter says here, that you are God's own. He claimed you as His. You know, lastly, when I think of that sacrifice that Scripture speaks of today, where it says Jesus became a living sacrifice. I had a hard time understanding what it means to be a living stone. That's quite an unusual word, isn't it? We hear it stated here a couple of times by Peter. But Presbyterian theologian from years gone by, John Skilton, said this. He said, when we hear those words, living stone, we think of the stone, the sacrificial stone of the temple, the place where the scapegoat was taken. where it was sacrificed to overcome sin. But here Skilton said Jesus, more than a scapegoat, more than an unwilling recipient of punishment, Jesus Christ came to be the sacrifice, to be the living, personal stone of sacrifice for you and me. He claimed us, in other words, as His own. Friends, that's what love does. That's what inspired Jesus, I'm convinced, as we reflect on this Mother's Day, the gift of love. That even as He approached the cross of Calvary, He remembered the love that His mother had prayed into Him. And Scripture tells us, the Gospels record it, that as Jesus was hanging upon the cross, they took His garment, His robe, and they describe it as a seamless robe. Means it was beautiful. Means His robe was handcrafted with love. And I just happen to believe that His robe was made by His mama. For when everyone had deserted Him, when Judas had betrayed Him, as Christ hung upon the cross between heaven and hell, there was the one there at the foot of the cross who never deserted or denied His mother. So thank you, mothers, for exemplifying the love of Jesus by what you do daily. May we embody more fully what our Lord embodied. The gift of prayer. The gift of sacrifice. The gift of love. As we claim all of God's people as our own. Amen.